Well, good morning, church family, and Happy New Year. It's hard to believe another year has come and gone, but we are glad you're here to worship today on this New Year's Day. I'd like to invite you to pray with me as we prepare for this morning's message. Lord God, this is a day you have made, the first year of a new year, 2023. And Lord, we're here to worship you on this Lord's Day, the first day of the year, and we dedicate this day and this time to you. You are the God that is worthy of our praise. And so, Lord, we just pray that our worship has been acceptable to you today, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts have reflected the love and the joy that we have for you. And we pray that our worship has been acceptable to you today. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us today as we do a little bit of reflection and direction for the new year. And so we just ask you to be with us and speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last year I put this picture up on the screen, and I'm going to do it again because it had great results from last year. But this was the picture, if you remember from Tracy's testimony back in September, that really challenged her. But how many of you, when you were growing up, did your parents mark your height, maybe on a door sill or something around the house? And every year you could compare your growth. And my question is basically this: how are you growing spiritually? Do you ever mark your spiritual growth from year to year? It's a little bit of a different kind of measurement. It's pretty easy to measure height, and when we reach a certain age, sometimes we stop growing vertically and we start growing horizontally. But I want to ask that question again this year. How did you grow last year? Was it a good year for your spiritual growth? I hope so. And so our message this morning is entitled Reflection and Direction. Now, if you were here the whole year with us this last year, this will be a little bit of a review or reflection. If you came into the church family during this year, you'll see some things that we talked about that maybe you weren't here for, and then somewhere along the ways it'll pick up where you'll recognize some things. But I think it's always good to have a little bit of review and reflection, and then we want to cast a little direction for where we're going to go this year. But at the beginning of 2022, we started at the beginning. It looked like this. Spent about the first 12 weeks talking about the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. We talked about what it was like in the beginning. And as our friends from Answers in Genesis tell us, so many of the explanations for why the world is in trouble like it is today stems from those opening chapters in Genesis. So we look at chapters 1 to 11 that set up a lot of the things that we talked about. God made the heavens and the earth, and it was good until sin entered the world through a decision of the first man and woman to disobey God. And then the earth became cursed, the tempter was cursed, and the man and woman were cursed. And then we saw the struggle up through chapter 11. But in chapter 12, the final message of the series, we actually saw the promise that God had given through a man named Abram, that if he would leave his homeland and his family and go to this new land, that God would bless him and he would have many descendants, and his descendants would one day bless the entire world through the promise of the Savior. After we looked at the beginning, we kind of turned around and looked at the end.
Should I stay here, or do I need to
we went all the way from the pages of Genesis to the end of the New Testament to the book of Revelation, and we saw the letters that Jesus sent through the Apostle John to the seven churches in Asia. And even though they were written about 2,000 years ago, the messages ring true for churches today. And we were challenged to see, is our church being faithful, or have we gone astray like many of the churches in Asia Minor did? Of course, Jesus' encouragement was to be faithful, because one day he is going to return. One day we're going to have that glorious session of worship that we read about in chapters 4 and 5. Well, after we looked at the beginning and after we looked at the end, then we spent some time during the summer months looking in the middle of the book. So we spent June and July in the book of Psalms, many of which were written by King David, which is why the montage of images from David's life. And we learned that the Psalms represent a wide variety of expressions of emotion at different seasons of life. They're primarily divided into two categories. They are Psalms of praise and Psalms of lament. But we experienced the many different ways that people worshiped God through the summer months. The word Selah, Bible scholars believe, means to pause, or it's an interlude. Since many of the Psalms were songs, they think that's when the instrumentalists were supposed to play. But we also talked about that word Selah can mean pause and consider the words of the Lord. So to finish out the summer, we did about 5 weeks in a series that was kind of fun and of a topical nature. This is what it looked like. Is that really in the Bible? And we took a look at some phrases that are so often repeated, even within Christian circles, that many people think they're a part of God's Word. But we took a closer look, holding up our magnifying glass and the inspector's lens, and learned that not all of these things come from God's Word. We looked at things that people say like, let your conscience be your guide, or God has a blueprint for your life. Or Christians don't have to go to church in order to be Christians. Or Christians shouldn't judge. And so we kind of took a closer look at what the Bible really said and we learn that it's important to be discerning about the things that you hear and sometimes the things that you might repeat. And then when we came into our fall sermon series, it was time to go all in. And we talked about the fact that many of us profess to follow Christ, but you know, one of the scariest statements Jesus made was from Luke 6:46 when he said, "Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say?" And so we want to be disciples who are all in, making the decision to be totally committed to Him. So how does that flesh out in our lives? That was our big fall sermon series, Life on Mission. Maybe you had been a part of a church family at some point in the history of your life that had some kind of evangelism program, and it was geared up as a calling program where you went to homes of people you didn't know and knocked on the door and tried to start a spiritual conversation with people. And there may have been a day and a time when people welcomed that or received that, but I'm afraid those days are kind of long gone. You think about how when you're at home in the middle of things and somebody you don't know knocks on the door with some holy book, and how would that make you feel? And so we talked in our Life on Mission about using the organic relationships that we already have to be the path to fulfilling the Great Commission. We talked about connecting with people who are already in our lives. They may be neighbors, they may be co-workers, they may be friends, they might even be people who regularly serve us at restaurants or stores. But the idea is, make connections with people. This was really amazing. Mary Lou and I went out to dinner the other night down in Amelia at the barn, and the server came to wait on us, and she said, "You know who I am, don't you?" And we said, "Well, we recognize you. You've served us before." And she said, "Well, there's something more." And it turns out she was the granddaughter of Tracy's father. And when we ministered to their family during the funeral and the dinner at the church, Caitlin was there. And then when we were out at the restaurant, she recognized us. And it was a whole different conversation then, wasn't it? And it was just neat, because who could have set that up but God? That a couple weeks after that funeral, we happened to go into this restaurant where she works and we made that connection. She's not here yet, but I hope maybe one day. But you use those natural connections that God already gives you with people, and then you find ways to serve people, because nothing builds a relationship better than serving other people. Because when you do something for somebody, they might be curious and ask, "Why are you doing this?" And that's your open door to share about your faith in Christ and how He compels you to love and serve other people. And then we can help people grow in their walk with Christ, helping them become His disciples. But our whole life on mission is undergirded with prayer. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we ask Him every day to show us the way. Whose life are you going to put in my path today that I can speak words of kindness or truth and make this connection and serve and share. It's a beautiful way to experience life on mission, and it happens naturally with the people that God puts in our lives if we will only open up our eyes and see the opportunities that He puts before us. And then following the fall sermon series, we came into our most recent series for Christmas.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in till the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
People waited for years and years for the Messiah to come, and we ask the question, why did it take so long? Why didn't God send the Messiah sooner? And we talked about God had a plan, and that plan would be to send His Son eventually. He waited till it was the right time, it was the right place, it was the right people, and it was the right sign. And we talked in each of those messages about how this is the right time. We can't wait. Jesus is going to come back soon. This is the right place, right here in our community, to be the disciples of Jesus and witnesses of what He's done. We are the right people to be His ambassadors and share His message. And the sign is no longer a babe in a manger. But the sign at this point in history is the cross. We all must end up at the cross where Christ died to make the ransom payment for our sins. And as we lead people to His cross, they not only can experience His love and His care and His salvation, but they can join us in this new life in Christ and living our lives on mission. Quite a year, huh? But now we start a brand new year. 2023. And so I want to wish you a happy new year, but I want to come back to this question about your spiritual growth. How much did you grow last year? I know you can't quantify it in inches or feet or yards or even in metric units, but I just want you to think for a minute. Did you grow last year? Did you grow the way the Lord wanted you to grow last year? Was there anything that was hindering you from growing last year? Well, we want to knock any hindrances aside, as the writer of Hebrews says, and we want to pursue the Lord with passion. And so I'd like to invite you at this time to open your Bibles with me to our scripture reading today from the letter of 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 960. And we're going to read verses 2, and then we've got another verse in the same chapter, so just keep your Bible open there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul is writing to this young preacher. He left Timothy to lead the teaching and preaching of the church in Ephesus, and this is his second letter to the young preacher, and he says this, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." Now, I love this passage because it's just one verse, but it kind of sums up the mission of those who are teachers. The teaching involves passing this message along. And he tells young Timothy, you've heard me teach things, and they're true. They've been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. And I'd like to say during this past year, you have heard me preach and teach to you some very important biblical things that God wants us to apply in our lives. Then he says, now you teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So I look at my responsibility as a minister to teach, but not just to lay the message out there, but to teach other trustworthy people who will then be able to do what? Pass it on to others. Because you can reach people in your network of relationships that I might not ever get to meet. Now, if you want to invite those people to church so they can hear at church, that's fine. But the way that the Lord wants this to work is that as you hear, you spread this message. You have opportunities to reach and teach other people again that I never will. And so this is the way that we're to pass the faith along. You're here, you're learning, but you're learning with purpose so that you can take these things and share them with other people. That's even one of the reasons that we post the messages on our church website. If you need to listen to them again, I've had some other people say, hey, can I send that to a friend? How do I do that? And you can, and point them to our website. But we have a mission, and we want to share the things that have been passed on to us, and we want to pass them on to others who can continue passing them on. Now, the second verse in this chapter we want to look at is verse 15. Paul writes this, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And the idea here is to remember that the work that we do in passing this message along to others is something that we need to take seriously. He says we need to work hard so that one day when the Lord comes back, we don't have to be ashamed. We were actively participating in the mission. And so Paul tells Timothy a message that I think the Holy Spirit wants all of us to hear, or it wouldn't be in Scripture, but we are to be good workers who correctly explain God's word of truth. So if we understand that to be our mission, one of the things that the church needs to do for everybody within the fellowship is continually train and develop our skills and our knowledge of the word so that we can do these things. So how do we do that? The first thing is that we have an amazing adult Bible fellowship, and it normally meets at 9:30, the hour before our worship in the fellowship hall. In this Bible study time, we don't just listen to what the teacher studied all week. In this format, we actually read the Word of God during the week. Each week, we take a chapter, and every day, or at least as many days as we can, we read that chapter. We pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to teach us, but towards the end of the week, we answer these questions. What's this chapter about? And just give a brief summary. What's the best verse that encapsulates the meaning of this chapter or speaks to me? The third is, what is the challenge or the application for me? And the D stands for, are there any difficulties in this chapter that I had? And then on Sundays when we come together, we discuss what we've learned. And as iron sharpens iron, we get to sharpen each other. I heard Cheryl say at one point, I love this method of Bible study and I never want to go back to the old way. This is exciting, and it involves us reading God's Word each day and letting His Spirit speak to us. We just finished the Acts of the Apostles. We left Paul in Rome, and several of us were interested in doing this, so we're going to start in the book of Romans, which is right after Acts. So if you would like to jump into the Adult Bible Fellowship, we'll be reading Romans 1 this week. And if you need a paper that's got the ABCD guide, we'll make sure to have some out on the table. But Romans 1, read it and be ready to discuss the four questions. Now that's a regular way that you can feed yourself with the Word of God and grow. Now one of the other things that we started last year, and many of you were able to attend, is a special workshop we do for people that are new coming into the church family, and we call it the iChurch workshop. This answers the question that many people wonder when they come into the church family: how do I get connected here? We do it on a Sunday afternoon, and this year we're going to do it for anybody that hasn't been through it yet on Sunday, January 29th. We'll feed you and we'll do this workshop together. But if you have not participated in this before, we'd like to encourage you to do that, and we will help you get connected with the church. Another way that you can get feeding and preparation and equipping for our mission is what we call discipleship training. It usually starts with just one person discipling a second person, and then you got two people that can disciple two more, and then you got a team of four who can disciple four more, and then you've got a team of eight who can disciple another eight, and you see this just keeps growing and growing. Now, the discipleship training is 10 sessions, and if you have been a believer, this is a wonderful review of the things that you may have heard about and picked up throughout your Christian life. But many people that I've taken through it tell me, well, I kind of knew that, but I didn't know where to find it, and I didn't know how to tell anybody about it. And now people are equipped to be able to share this with other people. And so if you've ever felt like, well, I know I'm supposed to share my faith, but I don't know how, you need to get this training because it will help you learn how to do it. Now, all of these things I've just talked about, the Adult Bible Fellowship, the iChurch, the discipleship training, those are all things that take place within the church. But you know, God planted us here in this community. And there was an opportunity that was presented last summer when Steve and I found out that they were forming a new organization called the Hamersville Community Action Team. As you know, I'm still relatively new to the community. Some of you have been in this church and in the community for many years. But I was still kind of new, and I didn't know what needs there might be in the community or how we could get our church more involved in the community. And so when Teresa Gall first approached me, I talked to Steve, and we decided to get involved on that team. And our church has kind of become a hub for some major events. We had a mobile food pantry. It was amazing. There's already a group down in Amelia called the Inner Parish Ministry, and they do a mobile food pantry, but they need places to do it. And the Community Action Team said, there's people in Hamersville that need help. We could bring that out here, but we need a place. The Hamersville Village Building isn't big enough to do it. And because Steve and I were involved there, we're like, hey, we've got this parking lot that would be great. And we've been able to do it twice this year, and some of you have been able to come out and help pack the food and pass it out. It's been great. Another thing that we were able to use our building for back in December was we got the Hawksworth Blood Center to come out. We had them all set up in the fellowship hall, and people from all over Brown County came into our building and gave blood. And it was a really neat opportunity to get people in our building that don't normally come. While they were sitting there with a needle in their arm and I had a captive audience, I went around talking to people, finding out how they knew about this. And some of them had no Christian background, but they had a type of blood that Hawksworth needs. And Hawksworth told them, we're going to be out in your area, come. What'll God do with that? I don't know. But these are just two examples of things that we did as a community, and we got to use our church building for that. Now, another thing that we didn't use the building for, but that the action team did, was you might have seen on Saturday, December 10th, Santa Claus came to town. And we wrapped a lot of gifts that Santa got to give out to children that might not otherwise have had a good Christmas. And so while it didn't happen at the church, it was something we could be involved in. And so this team is going to continue to do things this year. And Teresa, who is our president, and you might have met her when she's been here to visit church, she's interested in having more people participate in this. So if you've kind of felt like I need to do something more in the community, but I'm not sure what to do, why don't you consider jumping in with us at the Community Action Team and being salt and light in our community? These activities make the community a better place, and it gives us an opportunity to talk with people. I know when the food drive was going on, Steve was at directing traffic out here at the driveway here, and he got to talk to a lot of people. The last one that we had, Connie was out here talking to people while the cars were being loaded. And she's like, "Where do you go to church? Oh, you don't go? You ought to come here." And she was just doing an amazing job. And so those are opportunities that we might not otherwise get. But I want to remind you about the signs that you see around the building that I put up in 2021. The challenge was each one, bring one. And we talked about the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But many times when we hear the Great Commission about going to all the nations of the earth, we get overwhelmed. I can't do that. And so we don't do anything. And so in 2021, I challenged you with this, and I did it in 2022, and I'm going to do it again now in 2023. What if your prayer is, God, I can't bring the whole world to Jesus, but would you help me bring one person to Christ this year? In fact, let me put the question the other way. When was the last time you brought somebody to faith in Christ? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time that you had a spiritual conversation with somebody? Now, you know, you can have a little bit of fun with this. Tracy, if you don't mind, I'm going to tell this about Kenneth. This was funny. Kenneth is the father of Caitlin that I told you about earlier, and he was very touched that we helped with the funeral and the dinner. And last week, Tracy told me that Kenneth was wanting to give a donation to the church, and he was asking her, how can I do that? Do I just send a check or what? And I told her, tell him to bring it. That's the best way to get it. So, you know, you can have a little fun with it too. But what if your prayer in 2023 was, Lord, help me bring one person to know Jesus this year? That's doable. That's something that can happen. So let's start praying for that. And there's one other way that you can grow that, and that is coming to worship together. There's something about God's people coming together to worship, to sing, to fellowship around the Lord's table, and to hear messages from the Word. And some of you have been asking me, hey, David, what's our next sermon series? This last half of 2022, we've been in the book of Acts. And several of us have just been amazed how the Holy Spirit guided those people to do the things that they did. In the fall sermon series, Life on Mission, I asked for 3 volunteers, and Nina, Cheryl, and Ron volunteered for a special mission. And the mission was, pray every day that God will help you know how to share this financial gift and bless somebody's life in the name of Jesus. And all 3 of them said, I prayed and I prayed, but sometimes it was hard to know if it was the Spirit or just an idea that popped into my mind. How do you know? So next Sunday, we're going to start a new series on the Holy Spirit. Now, I know a lot of people in a lot of churches, they're comfortable with the idea of God the Father. They're comfortable about the idea of Jesus the Son. But many people don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a study of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to borrow a title from Francis Chan's book on the Holy Spirit called Forgotten God. So we're going to see what the Bible actually says about the Holy Spirit and how we can live by the power of the Spirit in our everyday lives. So, we've done a little bit of reflection of what we learned last year. We've talked about a little bit of direction with where we can go this year. And that brings me to my challenge for you today. And my challenge is this. How much will you grow this year? A little? A lot? You know, the answer to that question is based on what choices you make to participate in your spiritual growth. We can give you lots of opportunities, but you need to choose how much you're going to grow this year. So I hope you'll consider the different things that we've talked about and find ways that you can get plugged in, whether it's through adult Bible fellowship, the iChurch workshop, discipleship training, this new sermon series. I challenge you to make plans this year to grow, so next year when January 1 comes around, you're like, wow, look how much I grew. And you know, I think that'll please God if He sees that we've grown. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you so much for the things that you taught us and that we reflected on this morning. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities in this new year. But Lord, we know that our physical health as well as our spiritual health is composed of making good decisions. And so we pray as we enter this new year, and there are many opportunities to love and to grow and to serve, whether it's within this church family or whether it's something in the community like the Action Team. Help us make good decisions of how we can grow in our spirit, in our faith, in our walk with you, and to be makers of disciples in fulfilling the mission that you've given us. Help us to live our lives on mission. Start anew in 2023 that fire that you want to burn within us, that we can't help but tell about the things that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for last year. We thank you for the opportunities of this new year. And we pray, Lord, as we are becoming a healthy church, that you would help us also to become the growing church that you want us to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, and we're going to sing our sermon response song from our Life on Mission series.
Let your light shine, let your light shine.